Let us all pray. Our Father, wilt thou help us to stand up for Jesus? We thank thee for the cross, for that event in history wherein Christ died for us sinners, and for the fact that this creates a whole new network of relationships. Help us to be grateful for his redeeming work. Help us, as the cross was for him, to make it for ourselves a place of offering, that we may come in obedience to lay our lives down for thee. And from that perspective, send us forth to every place of human need. Help us to storm the citadels of proud empires and the bastions of prejudice and discrimination, and to call a halt to the commerce of war. And help us, Lord, we humbly pray, to do all of this in the name and in the spirit of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. It is my privilege this morning to present to you one who is known to a number of members of this community, a man who is a personal friend and a friend of this school. Mr. W. Frank Ingram is the superintendent of missions in the Mount Zion Baptist Association. This is the association covering Alamance County, the Burlington area, and the northern part of Orange County. Mr. Ingram is a layman. He came to the work as associational superintendent of missions after a successful career in business, in the management end of business. And he is doing one of the most creative works that I know of anywhere as superintendent of missions. This man is personally engaged day by day in the processes of personal evangelism. He is the church relations director of the Larry Love Memorial Foundation, which is an evangelistic foundation named in memory of a young man from Graham, North Carolina, who himself, as a layman, was much interested in evangelism. And one of the things this organization is doing is providing some funds for this school for scholarships. And we want Frank Ingram to know that we're grateful for that. The Mount Zion Association is this year observing its centennial, and they're not just looking to the past. They're looking to their present responsibilities and to their future opportunities in a very dynamic area. And some of the most interesting things are being done in the observance of this centennial. Last Sunday, for example, was home missions emphasis, and many people came from the Home Mission Board in Atlanta to speak in the churches of that association. Similar events are being planned for emphasizing other phases of our denominational life and work. This is but an example of what I mean when I say this man is doing a creative work. We welcome him here today as a Christian brother, as a servant of the Lord, and as a friend of the servants of God. Before he comes to speak, I want to say one further word, and that is that Mr. Ingram comes today to speak to us out of a very heavy heart. This morning he received a message that a brother who has had a long bout with emphysema is at the point of death. And after he speaks to us this morning, he'll be making his way later today to Charlotte. And we want to assure Brother Ingram that we'll be bearing him and his family up on the wings of prayer as they face this experience. Brother Frank Ingram of Graham, North Carolina.
Thank you, Brother Tom. And I hope those pastors within our association do not forget this introduction, especially those who are present and are studying in the seminary here. I also want to say this, that this message comes to you through the courtesy of the Mount Zion Baptist Pastors Association. And if you find its structure weak and its contents poor, then you can blame it on the pastors of Mount Zion, of whom the greater part are graduates of this institution. I had a cup of coffee this morning in your student center, and I want you to know, if the curriculum is no stronger than the coffee, you have my sympathy. This morning I want to share with you some of the things I believe the laymen are trying to say to the pastors and to the world and to the convention. I believe it's a time of frustration within the hearts and lives of the laymen within our associations and within the congregations of our churches. And this carried me back to the last verses in the fourth chapter of Jonah. And Jonah had fled from God's call to go to Nineveh. But eventually he did preach the gospel. He did confront the Ninevites with the ultimatum issued by God. And the Ninevites repented of their sins. And after they had repented of their sins and God had forgiven them, then Jonah took himself to a secluded spot. And there he began to worry because God did not destroy the Ninevites as he had expected. But it seems to me that he would have known if God was intent upon the destruction of the Ninevites, he would not have sent him with the message in the first place. But then we find in the last verses, the 10th and 11th, that then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. It seems here that Jonah was looking at something. He was looking at a thing, and he was not seeing the people. He did not see the needs of the people. He was looking at things. And perhaps this is much of what we are doing today, is that we are seeing things and not people. I believe one of the greatest mistakes we have made in the Southern Baptist Convention, even though I've supported it wholeheartedly, is that we have placed our emphasis on the building of structures and not on the building of the church within itself. The time has come whenever many of our laymen do not know. They have no idea of the theological concept of the Baptist distinctives and doctrines and beliefs. Just the other day I said to a lady, have you ever thought that it might have been possible and more probably true that Jesus got his feet dirty, his hands dirty? And she said, oh no, I never dreamed of that. But if we're going to be interested in people as God is interested in people, then they are going to be the object of our attention. And perhaps the real affection of our lives to accomplish this, let's look at the laity within our church. So oftentimes we look at laymen as to what they afford us and not what they really are. And I know by experience what some of them are. But look at laymen in their totality as an individual. For years I sat under trained pastors. And not one of them, during the years of my Christian endeavor that I can remember, ever really took the time to impart God's word to his church as he should. You're here, you're acquiring knowledge, you're spending much time, you're expending your efforts and energies in learning to rightly divide the word. And I believe that you can best serve God and the laity by an in-depth study of God's word to the people who are members of your church and who are followers of you as well as God. They are hungry to know the word. They are hungry to know what God is saying to them in this hour and in this time. They are hungry for a fellowship of believers. So use your laymen in a mission effort to win a world. Let him see people, but let him see a person first. You can't witness to the masses unless you begin to witness to the individual. And then where is the layman going to start in becoming involved? And of course, you knew when I came I was going to eventually get to this. The only other place that a layman can become involved in the greater ministry in the name of Jesus Christ, other than his local church, is in the association. And it's important that these men become involved and express themselves in this manner. To share your people with an associational effort, an associational endeavor, is not going to take anything away from your church. It will enhance its ministry. The moderator of our association is a layman. He was not too well known within the association until he became the moderator. And now this man is a powerhouse in the kingdom of God, in his daily life and in his witness and in his sharing. So lead your people to cooperate in associational efforts, not for the structure of the association itself, not for the programming of it, but they might have a greater involvement for God and have a greater vision of the mission, which is their responsibility as it is ours. Now, I'm not anti-establishment. After one experience in one church, I'm not anti-anything. But you can look at your North Carolina State Convention and the experience of the one held in vote. The layman got the message real clear where the layman stands in state convention involvement in ministries. The committee on committees of North Carolina is made up of 60 people, of which 48 of them are preachers, preachers' wives are with us. In 1958, the Southern Baptist Convention approved a recommendation which reads, both ordained and lay people be included on all boards and committees. Not more than 2/3 of the members should be drawn from either group. Look in your annual and you'll see which group is now holding the 2/3 majority. The laymen want to become involved, but we can't get past the establishment. And this is not by design. It is because we have a limited knowledge of those who are able, capable and willing. Therefore, it's like the power structure in a church. You will eventually come to the place where you're electing the same people all the time. Now, use your layman. Let him know that you're a man, God's man. Let him feel that you're interested in him and his involvement for Christ. I had a pastor one time. I shall never forget him. He was the only pastor I had prior to entering associational missions that did this. But this man came to my job. He knew my problems. He knew why I would walk around the corner and use certain words I couldn't use in a Sunday school class. He knew why. Therefore, I felt his presence and his guidance. I felt his support in my everyday life. Most laymen feel that if they can get along without the presence or the ministry of their pastor in 6 days, God will help them make it on the seventh. Now, you can't reach your people without first being filled with a concern for them. And you can't reach the lost people unless you reach them through the layman within your church and within your acquaintances. And to reach these people, you must trust this layman and place some wisdom in him. George Sweeney, pastor of church 42 years in the Mount Zion Association, never attended a financial meeting of his church. I wouldn't have the courage to do that in association, and I know you wouldn't in your church. But you see, we must put some confidence and some trust in these people and in their abilities to express themselves and relate Jesus to their fellow man. Your layman can help you build a church by having a vision of the needs of people. This past spring, we were visiting in New York City, and we went to a large place called the Frack City. 20 apartment buildings, 20-story high, which houses approximately 18,000 to 20,000 people. And the Home Mission Board has placed a small chapel on the ground floor in one of these buildings. And my granddaughter was with us, and whenever she looked at this massive structure of brick and mortar, she also looked around the playground and she said, "Ma, look at the people. Look at the people." Never in her life had she seen so many people in one place. And Jesus, he saw the people, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And the difference between my granddaughter seeing all these people in Lafrak City and Jesus seeing the multitudes in his day and as of today is compassion. A concern with a loving heart that motivates us to do something in his name. Another thing, bring your layman face to face with Jesus Christ and his responsibilities. You may lose a few this way, but you'll have depth and quality. You'll have more in the long run. Bring them face to face with Jesus Christ and let them be confronted by his truths and his challenges. Ms. Ingram and I lived in the Deep South for a number of years, and while we were there, we heard that a good friend of ours by the name of Robert Nixon had died. And a few years later, we moved back to North Carolina, and I passed Robert Nixon's store once, twice per week. And he and I were the best of friends and had been for many, many years. But I did not stop to see Robert Nixon because he was dead. He was not there any longer. And then one day while walking down West Trade Street, I came face to face with Robert Nixon. It was not Robert who died, it was his brother. Someone was mistaken when they told me that Robert was deceased. And look at the years that we failed to have this companionship and to enjoy the company of each other just because we were misinformed. And so it is true with my personal experience with Jesus Christ. For many, many years, for all intents and purposes, Jesus was dead to me. But then one time, on one occasion, I came face to face with Jesus Christ and knew him then as my Lord and Savior. And what a difference this has made in my life and in my attitude and in the way in which I live and work and have my being. Bring your layman face to face with Jesus. Forgive this personal reference, but that's about all I can tell you is what happens to me personally. And that's about all God expects me to tell you. But this brother of mine who is dying, who is now beginning to wade through the valleys of the shadows of death, I sat in his presence last Friday afternoon and heard him tell me the glorious experience of living through 6 years of physical affliction in the closeness of the fellowship of Jesus Christ by coming face to face with him. I tell you, our laymen want to move. They want to know Jesus as a person and not as an imaginary figure. They want to know him as Lord and Master and not someone whom they think about in times of trouble. And if you're going to lead them to do this, then isn't it better for one to dirty their hands while serving in the name of Jesus than to be busy polishing their halo of egotistical righteousness while seated in a pew of non-involvement?
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou will give us the grace and the good sense to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.